Battlebound. If you would please stand to your feet. Let's sing this great carol together. Sing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Amen. Go Tell It on the Mountain. That's our pre-worship music this coming Sunday morning. We've also got our choir cantata. I'll talk about that in a moment, too. But want to welcome those who are here with us in person. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have those who are there on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things. I don't know that we won't drop you tonight. We may still, we're narrowing that down still, so please bear with us, still with us on that. If you have access at home to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's over under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin as well as the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsills and around at the doors. If you want to grab one of those, as well as the children's worship ones are in the windowsill to my right. There's two different ones, one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. You can share that link with others. You can print them off yourself and use those to distribute to others however you wish. But especially want to encourage you to download our prayer list for tonight, as we'll be going over some of that tonight. So be in prayer for those individuals. That's under that info tab. If you need one of these in person, we do have those down at the front now, so you can grab one of those. While you're on the church website, you can do your online giving. Go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your regular offering. You can do the international missions offering for Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Be sure to continue to pray about giving towards that offering. And then just a couple of other quick things. We've got our Christmas program that's going to be coming up. I've got some of those flyers down here at the front. If you want to take some tonight, share them. It is on our Facebook page and our Facebook group. You can share it from there. Also, there's an event that's there also that you can share it with. It is going to be at 10:30 in the morning this coming Sunday. Want to encourage you to get here early. You don't want to miss the very beginning. We've got some special things that will be happening even before that pre-worship music begins. So I want to encourage you to come and be present for that. We will be streaming live just a little bit before 10:30 also. And so I want to encourage you, if you cannot be here with us in person, join us there online. But do take some of these, hand those out tonight, put those in other places. And then coming up next Wednesday will be Christmas Eve. We'll be having our Christmas Eve communion. That will be from 5 to 7. It's just kind of a drop-in thing if you've never experienced that with us before. You just come anytime between 5 and 7. There'll be some prayer guides over here by this post for you to grab one of those. Have a seat here in the sanctuary and wait until there's a free opportunity to be able to come forward with our deacons and to partake of that Lord's Supper together as a family. And so I want to encourage you to come and join us for that 5 to 7. The prayer guide you read through as you're sitting there waiting. And then at the end, after you leave, there will also be a benevolence offering plate back over where you picked up the brochure there. And so you can give your benevolence offering then also. So just wanted to remind you of those couple of things. Be reminded also that the church offices will be closed on Wednesday, December 24th, on the 25th, and on the 26th. And so just wanted to make you aware of that. So we won't have evening service, a regular evening service, next Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday is New Year's Eve, and we won't be having a regular service then also. And so just wanted to get that information out there to you ahead of time. We'll put those on our social media so you can share those with us. But Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn tonight.
Maybe with all these events we got coming up, you can have some vocal rest. Take your hymnals, if you would, and turn to hymn 93, or sing from the wall, whichever you choose, and stand with us and sing hymn 93, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Ms. Gill?
Hopefully at home you've had a moment to get your prayer list downloaded there, and if you didn't get one as you came in, be sure to grab one of those. Grab some water here too. We're not going to go through the entire list, but we do want to highlight a few that are near the bottom of your list because those are the newer ones. We try to add the newer ones at the bottom of your list. And then there's others who are more long-term. You may see some updates on them. So one that I do want to bring attention to on our Highland Baptist Church family side that is a little bit further up, that is Amy Jackson. She has her lung biopsy coming up on December the 26th, the day after Christmas. And then she probably won't know for a week or two later the results of that. So keep her in your prayers for that. Brother George Duncan is doing his infusions, so keep him in your prayers. Every 21 days he's doing those, so keep him in your prayers as he continues to deal with that. A little bit further down, you have Kay Williams there. Keep her in your prayers as she's been in a lot of pain. Pray for the Lord's hand to be upon her. Carolyn Waller, also with her medical issues and the pain she's going through. Remember the family of Jimmy Hasty? As he passed away, they had his service yesterday, and it's good to see Eddie here with us tonight after his fall and recovering from that. Everything okay? Okay. Still okay? All right. So we praise the Lord that it could have been a whole lot worse, and so we just praise the Lord that he is here with us. Any other Highland Baptist Church family that we need to mention or update? I'm not watching on Facebook, so hopefully somebody else in our congregation is and can give us any updates there after we get through our list here. All right, so on our friends and family side, almost two-thirds of the way down, we have baby Evelyn Fair. We've been having both of them on the prayer list, but mom is doing great. Baby is still improving, doing good. They're still trying to get the baby to where she needs to be, so just keep praying for her. You can skip a few down and go to the Yates family there. I don't know if anybody here has an update on the Yates family, but this was a vehicle accident where the mother had passed away. It was either earlier this year or last year, and then the four daughters were in this car accident. The oldest, I believe, was the one that was in the worst situation, but we've not heard any more on that. Do you know anything, Ben? Okay. And so keep that family in your prayers. Remember Jimmy Williams, this is Roger's brother with his diagnosis of cancer. Remember Chad Haley, who's Brian Tate's nephew, with he hurt his back. And then Missouri Mary Leibig, Linda told us earlier this afternoon that she fell last night. They had to take her to the ER, and they have sent her to Erlanger and are going to keep her there for a few days. Normally, she did break some ribs. Normally, they said they would send somebody home, but with her age, they want to monitor her and keep her safe. And so Linda will be going down tomorrow and spending a few days down there with her mom while she's in the hospital at Erlanger. So keep her in your prayers. Everything seems to be okay right now. But just continue to keep her in your prayers for her continued recovery. They want to make sure there's no other issues that develop also. Any others on our friends and family side? Okay, and that's on Phil Jones. On your friends and family side there, there's been seeing some improvement there for him, but just continue to keep him in your prayers. Any others? All right, on our nursing home assisted living list, we have Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Miss Beverly Daniels at Life Care Center in Lynchburg, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, Miss Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, and then Miss Beth Kidd at NHC Rehab. Any others there? And if anybody, okay. Yes. Okay. So she is. Sorry, though. Beverly Daniels has gone back to Morning Point, from our understanding. So. Okay, so remember Jack Doubt with his RSV that's come back on him again, so keep him in your prayers for that. And I know there's lots of respiratory stuff going around. I'm still coughing some. I do have a cough drop, but it's not helping a whole lot right this second. So Ben said that's my cue to go shorter. So. All right, if there's no others, we're going to get right into having our time of prayer and then to our Bible study. We will probably be ending soon, sooner than usual, because we have our kids that are going to be coming in to practice for our Christmas program near the end of our normal time. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. We thank you for how you continue to answer our prayers. You provide for us in many ways that we don't always see. So thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us, for everything you've done for us, and for all you're going to do for us in the days ahead, even when we don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. So, Father, we just pray that you would be with each of these on this prayer list that we mentioned tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would just bring the healing that they need, answer the prayers that they, the needs that they have. We know your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, so pour out your grace upon them. Lord, we pray that as we come before you, may you cleanse us of our sin and hear our prayers as we confess any sin before you. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers on behalf of these individuals. And so, Father, we ask for you to wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But please, Lord, answer the prayer requests for each one of these individuals. Many of these are physical needs, and we know that you are the great physician. You're more than capable, more than able. There is nothing that is impossible for you to do, and so we uplift these people into your hands and ask for your will to be done in their hearts and in their lives. So watch over them, Lord. Bless them in a special way, and Father, we just pray for your spirit to be poured out upon them, to encourage those who are believers and to draw those who are lost to faith in Christ. Be with our kids tonight in Awana as they're celebrating with their happy birthday Jesus party. Be with our youth who are helping also to facilitate that. Father, we thank you for the time we have to be able to come to the book of Jeremiah and to study this chapter in chapter 6. Father, I just pray that your word will go forth, not return void, that it'll be powerful for our hearts and our lives, that there'll be application we can make from this Old Testament passage to our hearts and our lives today. And Lord, we just pray that you will use this passage to encourage us in our walk with you. Use it as the gospel message that's also contained in these verses of your love and your grace and your mercy that is there for us, that there is hope no matter how far we have strayed from you. So, Lord, forgive us, renew us, revive us, and we ask your blessings upon us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And I've entitled this message, Ask for the Old Paths. And you may be wondering, what in the world does that have to do with this passage? What, where is that in these verses? You're going to see that, especially when we come down to verse 16. And so that's where we're going to be leading to, but there's so much more also in this chapter. So let me just ask you as we begin here, have you ever been absolutely certain that you were headed in the right direction, driving your vehicle, only to realize later that you were completely lost? Some of the ladies could say, yeah, but that was my husband. Husbands have a hard time acknowledging that. I wasn't lost. I knew where I was going all the time. You just didn't know. But there are those times that we do that. Maybe you followed the signs, you trusted your instincts, you stayed confident, and yet you were wrong. That's hard for us sometimes to admit that we were wrong. Spiritually speaking, that's exactly where some people, many people, find themselves today. They are moving forward with great confidence, but they're on the wrong road spiritually altogether. God's word reminds us that sincerity is no substitute for truth. And confidence is no guarantee of correctness. You can be confident that you're going in the right direction, but you could also be incorrect. In this chapter here, God is going to interrupt his people at a crossroads and lovingly commands them to stop, to look, and to ask something. So before another step is taken, before judgment falls, here's what the Lord says to them in verse 16. In verse 16, he says, ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Now, that's not the whole verse. We'll look at the whole verse in just a moment, but that's the part we're going to be mostly focusing on. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Now understand, this isn't just a call to remember the past. It's a call to return to the truth. And that call that we see Jeremiah giving to the people of Judah and Israel here is a call that still echoes today. The days of Jeremiah's ministry were marked by a spiritual darkness, a moral corruptness, and a moral collapse. God's people had wandered so far from God that judgment was no longer something that was off out there in the distant. It was an approaching certainty. Captivity was looming in the horizon. He had already told them that. Not because God had failed to protect them, but because they had repeatedly refused to listen to his voice. And yet, even at the edge of discipline, we see the mercy of God shining through. Before judgment falls, the Lord speaks one more gracious word. And he says there in verse 16, "Stand by the roads and look and ask." That's the heart of God, always calling his people back before they go too far. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. So the first thing I want you to see is the preparation as he's preparing them to hearing this message in verse 1 down through verse 5. The preparation in verse 1 down through verse 5. This chapter opens like a warning siren sounding across the land. God's not whispering any longer. He's sounding the alarm. He's calling the people to flee. He's calling them to prepare. He's calling them to recognize the danger is not approaching. It's already at the gate. So look at verse 1 down through verse 5, if you will. He says, "Flee. Don't wait any longer. Flee for safety, O people of Benjamin, from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and raise a signal on Beth Hakkerem, for disaster looms out of the north and great destruction. The lovely and delicate bread I will destroy, the daughter of Zion. Shepherds with their flocks shall come against her. They shall pitch their tents around her. They shall pasture each in his place. Prepare war against her. Arise and let us attack at noon. Woe to us, for the day declines, for the shadows of evening lengthen. Arise and let us attack by night and destroy her palaces." So notice what's going on here. In verse 1, he's saying, blow the trumpets throughout the land. That's that siren sound. The judgment is coming. It's already at the gate. This is not describing some political unrest that Jeremiah is talking about here. What he's talking about is a spiritual collapse. Jeremiah, Jerusalem that he's speaking to here, was once called the city of God. And he's saying, you have become a spiritually defenseless, because the people have abandoned the truth that once protected them. If you want God's protection, do not get out from under his protection. His protection is there in his presence. His protection is there in his word. His word is to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's to guide us, to help us to keep from going to stray to the right or to the left. And so when he comes here to describe his people, He describes his own people as a beautiful pasture. They're lovely, they're delicate, but he says, "I will destroy," in verse 2, "I will destroy the daughter of Zion." He says that not because he hates them, but because they have rejected the covenant that gave them life. That's the message of the gospel. God does not bring his judgment upon us because he hates us. He loves you and has done everything he can to show you that and to demonstrate that by sending his son Jesus, born in a lowly manger, dying on a cross for your sin, rising on the third day from the grave so you could have eternal life. But just as Paul has been telling us in Romans, they hear the truth, they know the truth, but they continue to exchange the truth of God for the things of this world and for lies. And that's where the people of Jerusalem were, the people of Judah were, as Jeremiah is bringing this message. God is not doing this to them, bringing this upon them because he hates them. He's doing it because they have rejected the covenant. He has given them opportunity after opportunity, the same thing he does for us. Over and over and over, he gives us opportunity to receive his forgiveness if we would repent of our sins. But all too often, we stick our fingers in our ears. We don't want to hear the Lord. We don't want to follow what his word says. We cover our eyes to what the truth of the word of God says. And so what he's saying here in verse 1 through verse 5 is he's preparing them for what he's about to share with them even further as we come to our second point, the problem. Here's the problem, he says, in verse 6 down through verse 15. So as this chapter unfolds, the Lord reveals the root of the problem, that there is an unchecked sin that is flowing freely from the heart of the nation. Verse 6 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, cut down her trees, cast up a siege mound against Jerusalem. This is the city that must be punished. There is nothing but oppression within her." Oppression, sin. He goes on in verse 7 and says, "As a well keeps its water fresh, so she keeps fresh her evil. Violence and destruction are heard within her. Sickness and wounds are ever before me. Be warned, O Jerusalem, lest I turn from you in disgust, lest I make you a desolation, an uninhabited land." Verse 9. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall glean thoroughly as a vine, the remnant of Israel, like a grape gatherer, pass your hand again over its branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. Therefore, I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. Pour it out upon the children in the street and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elderly and the very aged. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely." More of the sins that they're committing, more of the problem. Verse 14, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord." Wow. Look at verse 7 again in particular. "As a well keeps its fresh water, so she keeps fresh her evil." What a powerful image there. Sin was no longer hidden. It was a constant, public, unrepented thing. And so often that's what we see today. So even as you look at this Old Testament passage, it is very relevant to the times we live in. There was violence in their day. There was oppression in their day. There was injustice in their day that filled the land. And yet, the people looked at their land and they didn't see anything wrong. Even more alarming was the failure of the spiritual leadership. God says that both the prophet and the priest, those who should have known better, who should have been teaching the people better, they were dealing falsely with the people. In fact, the image that he gives here is that they were offering shallow comfort instead of true repentance. "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace.'" But they're not telling the truth because there is no peace, he says. It's one of the most sobering indictments in the scripture. Leaders glossing over the symptoms while ignoring the disease, offering reassurance where repentance was required. And so often we even see that today. amongst spiritual leaders. So we see the problem here. It is an unchecked sin that is flowing freely from the heart of the nation. It's unchecked because they don't care. They look at themselves, they look at their nation, and they say, we're fine. There's nothing wrong with us. And people do that so often today. There's nothing wrong with me. And they ignore the problem. And those who are spiritual leaders gloss over the symptoms and ignore the disease. But notice the powerful message that Jeremiah brings in the last half of this chapter in verse 16 down through verse 30. It's in the middle of this deception, in the middle of what these religious leaders are doing here, the decay that God speaks, this invitation of Jeremiah in verse 16. So thus says the Lord, because of what has happened before, because of what he said before, thus says the Lord, here's what I want you to do. Tell the people to stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Verse 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. So understand this, it's a repeated thing. This is not just they messed up one time, they sinned one time, and God's going to send a lightning bolt down to strike them and judge them. He has given them opportunity after opportunity. He has sent the message for them to hear over and over. He has sent the message for them to see. And they said, we're not going to walk in his way. We're not going to pay attention to his word. Therefore, O nations, verse 18. Hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, verse 19. Behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because it's the consequences of what they've done. That's what he's saying, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing. In other words, they're doing the religious things. They're bringing all these great offerings, but their heart's not there with the Lord. Therefore says the Lord in verse 21, behold, I will lay before this people stumbling blocks against which they shall stumble. Fathers and sons together, neighbor and friend shall perish. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people is coming from the north country. A great nation is stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. They lay hold on bow and javelin. They are cruel and have no mercy. The sound of them is like the roaring sea. They ride on horses, set in array as a man for battle against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the report of it. Our hands fall helpless. Anguish has taken hold of us, pain as a woman in labor. Go not out into the field, nor walk on the road, for the enemy has a sword. Terror is on every side. O daughter of my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for suddenly the destroyer will come upon us. I have made you a tester of metals among my people, that you may know and test their ways. They are all stubbornly rebellious, going about with slanders. They are bronze and iron. All of them act corruptly. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain the refining goes on, for the wicked are not removed. Rejected silver they are called, for the Lord has rejected them. Notice what he commands them. Go back to verse 16, if you will. He commands them to stop. He commands them to stop long enough to evaluate where they are and where they're headed. Stand by the roads and look. This picture here is that God gives us is very simple, but it's also very profound. It's the image of a traveler who's coming to a place with a fork in the road, if you will. The images of this traveler who he's told to pause at the crossroads. In other words, don't rush forward, don't follow the crowd, be discerning and discern direction. He can't continue without making a decision. Now, he can make whatever choice he wants. He can choose whichever way he wants to go. But God is urging him, don't move forward blindly. Instead, he commands him to stop, to look, to ask for directions. God tells him, ask. Don't be innovative. Don't experiment. Don't compromise. Don't take matters into your own hands. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. You know, so often pride keeps people from stopping to ask. And as a result, you lose precious time and travel great distances in the wrong direction. Spiritually speaking, the same is true. God never intended for his people to wander aimlessly. These ancient paths were the covenant ways that had been revealed through Moses, confirmed by the prophets, demonstrated in the lives of faithful men and women who walked with God. They were the old ways because they worked. And God attaches a promise that reaches beyond circumstances into the deepest places of the heart. And he says, if you will stand and look and ask for those places, you will find rest for your souls. God always provides a clear path. All too often, we're rushing ahead. We're not listening to his word. He provides a clear path, one that leads us towards him, one that he blesses, a path that brings eternal life. And it's through these words, even though these words were first spoken to ancient Israel here, it carries a powerful message for us today as believers. God still calls his people today to ask for the old paths. Notice this verse presents us with a requirement here. God's command was clear. They're not to follow the voices of the false prophets. They're not to follow the voices of corrupt leaders who are promising peace while leading away from truth. Instead, they were to look back to people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and other faithful servants and saints who had walked in obedience and reverence before the Lord. The old paths were not outdated traditions. They were proven ways. They were paths shaped by faith, shaped by holiness, and a submission to God. The Lord was telling them, don't rush ahead simply because that road looks easy, that road looks convenient, or everybody's going that road, so let's follow that road. He says, what I want you to do is to seek the well-worn path that represents his will. History reminds us how dangerous it is when signs are altered. During the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, German soldiers disguised themselves as Allied troops, and they went about and changed road signs throughout the countryside. Entire units were misdirected. They were leading to confusion and loss and near defeat. And in much the same way, spiritual road signs, even today, tend to be altered. Essential truths are minimized or softened or sometimes removed altogether. You think about the blood of Jesus. There are some places that the blood of Jesus is no longer preached or even sung about as necessary for salvation. Some take the authority of Scripture and question it despite the Bible standing complete, inspired, and eternally settled in heaven. Faithful church involvement and being involved in a church sometimes is dismissed. Even heaven and hell are treated like they're symbols, not realities. The value of the human soul often is overshadowed by material gain. And some look at the return of Christ and the return of Christ is ignored. And the holiness of God is often replaced with a version of God that makes us feel more comfortable to our human preferences. And yet, regardless of how many signs this world tries to change, the road itself remains the same. Because God's truth does not shift with the culture. His requirement still stands. Ask for the old paths and walk in them. Secondly, we also see that the Lord offers a reward. God promises that those who walk in his ways will find rest for their souls. That rest includes confidence that they're headed in the right direction. It involves eternal life in his presence. It includes the assurance of safety, knowing that God himself is watching over us if we're on that path that he's chosen. And it includes a deep satisfaction that comes when your soul is aligned with the Heavenly Father. So know this, that fellowship with God brings peace that no other road in this life could ever offer. And by contrast, those who refuse God's way, they often find uncertainty and unrest and loss. You see, when you choose a path that's apart from God, it's always going to be harder, it's always going to be emptier, and it's always going to be uncertain in its end. There is reward, though, in obedience, and there is peace in walking where God leads. But notice finally here that this passage reveals a refusal. That's the tragedy of this chapter, is that people did, it's not that they didn't know the truth, it's that they refused to believe the truth. Their response is as brief as it is heartbreaking. Look again at verse 16. But they said, "We will not walk in it." And he says the consequences are severe. Judgment came upon them just like God had warned. With that sentence, the door of blessing was closed, not because God hated them, but because of their choice. Just like Paul tells us in Romans, you can go so far that eventually God turns you over. God even appointed, he says, I even appointed a watchman, faithful voices like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like Amos, others, faithful voices calling out, like verse 17 says, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But notice what verse 17 says. They said, we will not pay attention to it. Their rejection becomes intentional. Their indifference hardens into defiance. And refusing God's path, understand, always leads and carries a cost. We are living in a day when many are making that same decision. The old way is called too narrow. God's commands are labeled outdated. Human wisdom is elevated above divine truth. Yet none of that changes who God is and what he requires. And so as God's people, we need to make sure we stand firm. We need to be unashamed of the gospel, unmovable in truth, unwavering in obedience, because we are called to walk the path that God has ordained without apology and without compromise. And from this point forward, the chapter moves steadily towards judgment, from verse 16 forward and verse 17 forward. God says that he's going to bring disaster on the people, not as a cruel act, but as a just response to their persistent rebellion. That judgment will eventually come upon this nation and those who reject God. Their worshipers rejected. They were bringing different things, but it was rejected not because they failed to bring those sacrifices, but because, as verse 20 says, their hearts were far from him. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. So understand this, ritual without repentance has never pleased God. Religious activity cannot substitute for obedience. And then God says that he has tested his people, like taking metal and putting it in a furnace, and they still remain impure. Verse 29, the bellows blow fiercely, the lead is consumed by the fire, and yet the refining goes on in vain. It doesn't produce anything. That's a powerful image there, because he's saying no matter how intense the refining process is, the people refuse to release their sin. And as a result, go down to verse 30 and see what happens. They are labeled rejected silver. Not because God didn't value them, but because they rejected him. That's the sobering end of a people who would not return to the old paths. And yet in judgment, the message of Jeremiah 6 still speaks hope to us today. The old path will never be a popular path. It is being abandoned daily in favor of what's newer, what's easier, what's more appealing to the culture, and yet God does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord who warned Israel is warning us today, not to condemn us, but to call us back to Him. The old path will never be crowded. It was never meant to be. Jesus himself said that the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and few there be that find it, Matthew 7, verse 14. The ancient path still leads to life. And so even though this culture may want to change the signs, God has not changed the destination. So the question before us tonight is not whether the old paths still exist. They do. The question is whether we are willing to stop and to ask and to walk in those ways. The good way is still clearly marked by the scriptures. And the rest God promised then is fulfilled now in Jesus Christ. That rest, that true peace that we so long for, it is there in Jesus Christ, who calls all those who are weary to come to Him. So the question is the same as Israel faced. Will we listen? Will we stop? Will we ask? Will we walk? Or will we keep pressing forward in our own way and bear the cost? It's not an easy path to follow the Lord, but they're the right path. And they remain the only way that leads to true peace, true protection, and the presence of God. So let us, as the people of God who stand at the crossroads, choose wisely. Let us ask for the old paths, and by God's grace, walk in those paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging, Lord, that you alone know the way that leads to life. So, Lord, forgive us for the times that we have trusted in our own understanding instead of your ways. Forgive us, Lord, for when we've rushed forward instead of stopping and asking you for direction. Lord, tonight we choose to stand at the crossroads and to listen to your voice. And so, Lord, give us humble hearts that desire your will above our will. Strengthen us, Lord, to walk those old paths, the paths of obedience and holiness and faith and trust in Jesus. And Lord, may we not be swayed by the changing signs, the popular opinions of this world, but Lord, let us be anchored firmly in your unchanging word. Lead us, Lord, in the good way. And grant us, Lord, the rest that you have promised for our souls. We ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What a message Jeremiah has for us. I pray that you would listen and that you would ask for the direction of the old paths. Oh, thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for joining with us there online. Again, remember this coming Sunday morning, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. But you might want to be here a little bit before, because we'll be beginning our online streaming also a little bit before, because we have some other things that we're going to be including in that service Sunday morning. But come and join us in person if you can. Be here and have a wonderful time as we worship the Lord. Don't forget, Sunday night is also our business meeting. We have some of our budget. Be sure to grab those if you haven't got one of those already. I'm not sure if our bylaws and constitution things are here, but I know Brittany will be here in just a little while. You can see her and get one of those. But thank you for joining with us. We'll see you this coming Sunday. You have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you then.